We're in New Hampshire.
Made it.
Give me 8 meters. Stop.
Wetlands, they're in every state.
It's a crab right there.
A crab where?
Right here.
They're critical for waterways, wildlife, and the rest of us.
Function almost as kidneys in the environment.
Can you tell us what's going on here?
Styrofoam and beer cans.
A Gatorade bottle.
So who's keeping an eye on these ecosystems?
Watch out for pink flowers.
We have a lot of work to do on our waters.
These are the Wetland Watchers.
I'm going to say it's kind of surreal because you can be crouching at this hole and all of a sudden everybody gets up to move and you can feel every step in the salt marsh.
Last time we took you to Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
All right, so deciduous and evergreen. So our leaf type is both broadleaf and needles.
Where we examined and recorded the soil, vegetation, water, and buffer properties of this salt marsh and collected samples.
She's looking at maybe 6 or 7 different vegetation types here. And then when you're in a floodplain or a forested wetland, you can get into the 6 pages worth of samples taken.
Which is a lot.
Which is a lot.
Got it. That's what it sounded like.
It's one of 8 sites in this state alone that are part of the EPA's National Wetland Condition Assessment. In total, across the lower 48, there are about 1,000 sites that have been randomly selected.
So you also use the National Wetland Condition Assessment as a teaching tool,
yes,
for kind of the next generation, so to speak, of
soil scientists.
Soil scientists.
We need soil scientists.
All this data, and there's a lot of it, next go to Oregon to be processed. The plants, soil, and water samples are sent to state or national labs. The EPA's Greg Sarenbetz says the last and only other time wetlands were part of this study.
For 2011 survey, we had well over 2 million data records, and we expect we'll have an equivalent amount of data for the 2016 survey.
One of his jobs is to assemble the scientists, soil experts, wetland ecologists and botanists, and chemists to analyze these millions of bits of information.
After we analyze that, we'll be able to look at change. We'll actually be able to look at the condition of wetlands in 2011, the condition of wetlands in 2016, and talk about whether we see a change in the percentage that are in good or fair or poor condition.
Then after the 2021 survey, they'll finally be able to look at trends in the conditions of the nation's wetlands.
And really assess whether we are better protecting our wetland resources or are not doing as good a job as we would like to in making sure that we have healthy wetlands across the nation.
But there's work to do well before that, says Sarah Lehman with the EPA's Office of Water and team leader for the National Aquatic Resource Surveys.
While we may not be in the same situation that we were back in the 1960s and 70s when the Clean Water Act was put into place, there still are a lot of waters where we have poor biological condition, where we have stressors like nutrient pollution, like poor habitat, that are impacting the quality of our waters.
What they learn from the 2011 study?
About half of our wetlands are in good condition, about a third of our wetlands are in poor condition, and the rest fall somewhere in between.
So for the 52% of wetlands in fair or poor condition, what can happen? Well, fish and wildlife are threatened, water quality goes down, flood retention is diminished, and we lose open recreational space.
Some of the things that are impacting them are hardening around a wetland. So if you are seeing pavement or other types of things that are surrounding a wetland, that's causing problems.
Ditching, long ago thought to repel mosquitoes, can imperil the marsh. Dumping fill, dredging, drainage for development.
Timber cutting, heavy grazing by livestock or other animals.
Even levees can cause a loss of wetland habitat.
We've also seen invasive type plant species that serve to stress our wetlands.
Nearly 3/4 of wetlands in the West are adversely affected by non-native plants. About half the wetlands in the interior plains states are similarly stressed.
It wasn't a surprise in the standpoint that that's what we had seen for other aquatic resources, other water bodies. You know, one of the things about wetlands is that a lot of them are very large and somewhat well protected. And so the percentage of the resource that was in good condition isn't really all that surprising.
These studies are concerned not only with wetland ecosystems, but also with human biology.
When EPA's administrator was looking to the Office of Water to develop a national vulnerability assessment tool for states and drinking water facilities, having microcystin or algal toxins getting into a drinking water supply can be a problem.
That's one way that data have been applied in the real world. These surveys, starting with the National Lakes Assessment in 2007, have allowed the EPA to help tackle this human health risk. Another on-the-ground impact came in Vermont, where the Lakes study showed that replacing native shoreline vegetation with lawns was dramatically reducing the quality of the lakeshore habitat.
And that led Vermont, in the end, to adopt new legislation further protecting lake shoreline, and then they went around and did an actual statewide educational effort to provide additional information to Vermonters.
Now, what works in Vermont might not be the best course for Oklahoma, but that's another benefit of this research. It can help steer decisions at different scales to make a difference.
We can think about how our collective actions nationally at the state and at the tribal level, at the local level, whether they're making the differences that we expect to see.
So that the end result after the restorations or mitigations are wetlands that are in better health and able to provide even more benefits than wetlands that are in poorer condition.
The Wetland Watchers is a production of the New England Interstate Water Pollution Control Commission and is funded in part by a grant from the Environmental Protection Agency. Interviews were conducted on Skype and in the field by Richard Friesner and Kimberly Roth. Thanks to Sarah Lehman and Greg Sarenbetz at the EPA and the New Hampshire Department of Environmental Services. Music included Running Waters by Jason Shaw, Claws by the Dirty Moogs, Soft River by Locke Lamond, Freedom by Cyrus, and Night Owl by Broke for Free. I'm Ian Bush. This is the Wetland Watchers.